Oh my goodness. Wow, that was awesome. I have to say that we got to be at the very end and see all the people as they left, and it was absolutely incredible. And I want to thank all the people who worked on that. We had over 100 people that were in the cast and crew, and we have people coming through going, how many churches put this together? And I go, well, just one. We put it together for you. But all the people who were out there for the whole week putting all the sets together and making all that stuff happen, and all of you that were out there, it got down to minus 11, I think, by the time we got everything put away last night. I think today it's at 11 degrees in the positive, so that's a 22 degree spread, man. It's like balmy in here, isn't it? I mean, it's just, it's incredible. But we had over 1,500 people that went through, and it was very exciting to be able to give away to our community. We had so many people say thank you so much for what you've done for our community. The stories, we had people crying as they came through. They said, man, we saw some of those scenes. We were crying at the manger scene. It was absolutely incredible, and I just want to say I was so proud to represent all of you and all that you did. Carrie and I both, as we got to represent you at the very, very end and hear all the glowing and positive and wonderful reports and how awesome. And people have come through for years and years and years too. People, I hand them an ornament at the end and they go, oh, this is our seventh ornament. We put them all on our tree. And, it was really, really incredible. Every person, there wasn't one person that when we said, hey, did you like the drive-thru? They said, it was fantastic. It was phenomenal. It was amazing. They had such great things to say about it. And I just want to thank you. A lot of them have said, this is our tradition. This is what we do for Christmas. It's part of our Christmas tradition now, is that we go through the drive-thru and we hear the story of Jesus. And so I want to encourage all of you. Give everybody a hand. You guys did, man, it was absolutely wonderful. And I think about those wise men that followed that star. They followed the star, but the star wasn't the star above. The real star was the star below, the star in the name of Jesus Christ. And they followed that star so that they could follow something else other than a star. They could follow a man. They could follow a Lord. They could follow a Savior. We've been talking about following Jesus, following this Savior, following this awesome God. And we're going to end, you know, each message has been kind of independent on its own. And we're going to end, though, this aspect of following Jesus, not just in our talking here, but it's actually a part of who we are as a church. Can you say with me our mission statement, here at Living Faith Fellowship? Make devoted followers of Jesus in community, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about being this follower. Jesus spoke in the Gospels over 80 times in the Gospels, in the four Gospels. That's one time per page on average, or one time per chapter, that he talked about us and his desire for us to follow him, to go after him, to follow him. We've gone through a number of things. Let me just recap some of them. We talked about following Jesus sometimes means leaving something else. It means denying yourself. We found out that it's easier to follow him when you're close to him than when you're further away, because the further away you get, it's easier to deny him, like Peter did. We found out also that don't put Jesus first, but put him in the center. We talked about followers of Jesus know his voice. They hear it and obey it. We talked about following Jesus can lead to uncomfortable situations, and you need to be able to trust him as you go. We talked about we must be sold out and all in order to follow Jesus. We found out also from the Old Testament that God said not to follow the culture that they lived in, but they were to follow him. And the same for us today. We're not to follow the culture that we live in. We're to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We talked about sometimes following Jesus involves suffering. We talked about followers of Jesus walk in the light and they don't stumble around in the darkness. We talked about it's easy to quit following Jesus when he says something that's hard for you or something that you don't understand, because many did in John 6, 6, 6. They walked with him no more. They followed him no more because it was too hard. Followers who qualify get in on his secrets the closer you are. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about following Jesus involves serving. Followers of Jesus always go the extra mile in service. And I have to say again, you all went the extra mile in service this week. Minus 11 degrees is pretty cool. Not in cool like wow, in cool as in brrr. But I'll tell you what, the people were so thankful. Thank you for putting this on, even when it's cold. But we had all those fires, so most of the people were absolutely pretty warm. We had a fire this time for our first time, and it was quite balmy. I mean, it was pretty great, wasn't it? It was better than, well, it was good. Balmy, maybe. Yes, it was much better. We had this, someone wrote to us, and I wanted to read it to you all. It says, I wanted to thank you for the wonderful and unique, this person just wrote to us online to our website. I wanted to thank you for the wonderful and unique nativity experience you created. My family and I were impressed with the performance and the story. And in an absolutely freezing temperature this year, no less. Well done, exclamation mark. I hope these words of appreciation reach all those who participated. Merry Christmas. The Maurer family. So I just want you to know that it was so, so awesomely received. Well, we've gone through a number of messages, and you get all those messages online at livingfaithfellowship.com, and we want to thank all those who are watching live as we're streaming this morning. Can you please stand with me as I read our scripture this morning? If you're able to, please do. We want to, out of respect for the word, read Matthew 19, 27 through 30. Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." You may be seated. Thank you. The title this morning is, we're talking about following Jesus, the reward. There's something at the very end of all of this following Jesus. Not only does He change our life in the following process, and we like who we are better. I love myself a lot more than I did when I was not following Jesus. I sleep a lot better at night. I wake up not with a hangover. I enjoy who I am so much more. I've got a long ways to go, and God wants to change me a lot more than I am right now. But I do enjoy who I am. A lot more that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. That I'm trying as best I can to follow in His footsteps. To be what He wants me to be. And I love my life better. I feel I have more respect for my family because I'm a man of God than a man of this world. So I am thankful for what the Lord has done. But it's not over right here. This is great, but it's not over in this life. There's one to come. And in Mark 10 and in Luke 18, combined with Matthew 19, all of these talk about this same passage that we just read. And I'm going to kind of put some of them together, and we're going to go through and dissect a little bit. It says, "Then Peter answered and said to him, 'See?'" I can just see him. Can't you see Peter? Yes. Peter is just the guy, you know, if he thought it, he said it. He didn't think about how it may come out or what it may be or whatever, or he didn't mean it that way, or, it's incredible. I kind of liken myself to Peter sometimes. I I've said things too fast. I've said things here on the platform too fast. They came out completely backwards, and, I've done some interesting things. But he was quick, he was impetuous, he was fun-loving, he wanted to be in there. If Jesus was working on something, I could see him, he's just right in there. He's gotta be in there. And he's gotta ask questions, and he's just excited about life, he's excited about things, and he just says whatever he wants to say. And so here's Peter going, hey Jesus! Hey, see, we have left all! We left everything! Left mom and dad, I left the fishing business, I left all that behind us, and we're all following you. We're all following you. We were walking one way and doing life the way we wanted to, and then you came. And then we left it and we started following you. We started doing life the way you wanted us to do it. We changed what we were doing so we could be and do what you were doing. We did that, Jesus. So he goes, therefore, because of all of that, because we did this, because we changed, what shall we have? I mean, it's funny, Peter's just looking at, hey, what do we get out of this? I mean, you know, you think, well, just isn't my presence enough? And I'm sure that was. But Peter was, I could see that Peter was probably thinking, or Peter probably said what all the other disciples were thinking, right? I mean, he was just the one who shouted it out first. And they'll go, hey, Peter, go in there. I mean, we just, you know, go in there. Talk to the guy. You get in trouble because we'll just learn from you. I was always that guy too, especially with Carrie's dad. I was always the guy who got in there and, hallelujah. I still kept going back for more. What should we have? Hey, do we get something? I mean, is there like a reward for doing all of this stuff? I mean, does something happen? I mean, what do we get? What do we get? And I'm sure all the other disciples are going, oh, Peter, I can't believe you asked him that. And then going like this, well, what are we going to say? You don't ask the master those types of things. And then listening as they were backing up, you know, I mean, just, you know, you can see what's happening here. But what shall we have? Because we changed the way we were doing life for you. What do we get for doing that? It wasn't always easy, and we had to leave some things behind, and we had to do some hard things, and sometimes we did things we didn't really want to do, and sometimes we had to make sacrifices, and we did all of this to honor you. So, what should we have? I mean, what do we get? What do we get for making a life-altering change? For leaving the business, leaving relationships, following you, doing what you asked us to do. What do we get for doing that, Jesus? Let me get down to the bottom line. What is it for us? And I want to give you the context here. As Peter asked this question, just the verses before this was the discussion with the rich young ruler. If you remember the discussion with the rich young ruler, Jesus says to the rich young ruler, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, reward in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had great possessions. Whereas the rich young ruler did not leave his possessions, Peter and the other disciples did. And he's realizing, you just asked that guy to leave it all and to follow you. And we're realizing, hey, you know what? We did sell it all. We did leave it all. We left it all behind. And you told him to do that and he'd have treasure in heaven. You told him that there would be a reward for him if he did that. You said something there. And so Peter's over here scratching his head going, hey, we did that. Well, I mean, what? Do we get something then? Do we get something too? Do we get something out of this? And Jesus said to him, or excuse me. So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, what's the regeneration? It's a generation that's redone. No, the regeneration. It's the restitution of all things. Regeneration means when earth shall be born again. When there's a new earth, at the time when there's a new heaven, at the time when there's a new Jerusalem, at the time at the end of the age, at the end of all time, when it's all over and Jesus Christ comes back again and he rules and reigns forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. He's saying at that time, when this is all over, when time as you know it, the way you know it, is all done, at that time, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now I bet, you know, Peter asked that question and all the other guys were back here laughing at Peter. No, Peter, you shouldn't have asked that. You shouldn't have said that. When they said you're going to be sitting on 12 thrones, I'm sure they all just jumped right in there, didn't they? Oh, 12 thrones? Oh, This would be awesome, dude. We're going to sit on thrones. This is going to be great. You know, Peter, you know, James and John wanted to be the two on the left and the right of him, but they said, hey, we all get on a throne, that's going to be good. We all get one. What does that mean? What does it mean that we're going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel? Well, I don't know exactly what it means. At the very end, when it's all over, there's a place of prominence. There's a place of authority. There's a place of splendor. There's something pretty awesome about sitting where God said that they were going to sit. These 12, well, 11, one got replaced. But these who were the first, these who didn't have a Bible to read, who didn't go, okay, let me see. If I follow Jesus, here's what he wants. Okay, I understand it. Okay, I'm figuring this out. Okay, he dies and I ask him to my life and then I get eternal life and then we live forever. And I mean, they didn't have any of this. They had nothing to tell them how this works out. They just had a guy who came by and told them these words. And all of a sudden they said, all right, I'll leave it all. We have a Bible that tells us how awesome and the wonderful things and a history and all of the stuff that's taken place, all documented, all here. And God asked you to follow Him. But they didn't have it. We have an easy way. We can look back. We can evaluate. We can think about it. They just simply walking by, okay, hey, and they left it all. How awesome. How wonderful that then Jesus says, hey, you 12, you guys, you first ones, I can't even believe you followed me. I can't even believe when I said those things, you decided to just, I said, hey, leave it, follow me. And you did. You just did. For these last number of years, you've just been following me. I'm really impressed. Peter, you asked some really stupid questions, but I'm really impressed. I'm really impressed. Nobody that went before you, no things to read about, nothing to, you just did it. You believed me. I'm impressed by that. I'm going to give you guys 12 thrones, whatever that means. And then he says, and everyone, not just the 12. He says, you 12, yeah, you guys are kind of special because you did a pretty good job. I tip my hat to you. Or tip my turban to you. And everyone, not just the 12, who have left houses, speaking of security, speaking of safety, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children. Speaking of relationships. Some relationships we should leave. Some that aren't so good. Some that we're tough, but God led us in a direction and we had to leave something behind. Speaking of those relationships. Or lands. Speaking of all the stuff you can accumulate. All of your wealth. All of your goods. All the things you can acquire in this life. He said, you left your safety. You left your security. You left relationships when I asked you to. And you left stuff. You realized that stuff wasn't as important as me. And you had no book to read. You followed me. And everyone else who leaves safety, who leaves relationships, who leaves stuff for my name's sake. Mark says, for the sake of the gospel. Luke says, for the kingdom of God. If you do it for that reason, he understands that there's a cost to following him. He understands that you have to give up something to take him on. A lot of Christians think, well, I can just grab all of that and grab all of that and I just keep grabbing it all. I just kind of add Jesus to my life. And he goes, no, I don't want to be added to your life. I want to be the foundation of your life. And when I'm the foundation of your life, I'm going to tell you we're going to have to kick some of the stuff you got in your life out. Because you can't have it all. You can't have all the things of the world because some of those things will kill you. Some of those things aren't good for you. Some of those things will destroy you. And so with me in there, I'm going to tell you, nope, that's out, that's out. Keep that, that's out, that's out. Who would wear that? Get that out of here. Keep that. I'm going to tell you what to keep in and what to throw out. I understand there's a cost. And that some of it you really like, and I ask you to throw it away. I ask you to break them up. I ask you to get rid of it. I ask you not to listen to it. I ask you to change it. I ask you not to go there. I ask you not to click there. I understand there's a cost. You have to give some stuff up, let go of some things. But then he says, those that do that shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. If you pay the cost, he says that there is a reward. There's a reward for doing what you're doing. There's a reward for living like you're living. There's a reward for choosing what you're choosing. There's a reward for saying no to that and yes to the things of God. There's a reward for walking and following Jesus Christ. There's a reward. He wants you to know it's not for in vain. That there is something at the end of the rainbow, but it's not a rainbow. It's eternal paradise. It is awesome. It's wonderful. It's great. It's outstanding. It's amazing. Thank you. I can imagine on that day when we stand at the gates of heaven, a lot of things that you have given up or let go of, Jesus is going to look at you and say, thank you. I know that was tough. What you did, the stand you took, the relationship you let go of because it wasn't good, the stuff you realized, you know what, it's hurting me. Thank you. I have a reward for you. Eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life. Whatever good things they had forsaken for his sake, would be returned to them 100-fold. 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 And get eternal life. 100-fold return and this other thing called eternal life. Both things. In other words, they were not making sacrifices, they were making investments, and their investments was going to return 100-fold. Whoa! I'm not making sacrifices. I'm actually making an investment, and this investment's going to have a return that's incredible. I don't know anybody down here that gets 100-fold. I mean, well, there are some socks out there, I guess. But then they tank. I mean, they go up and down. This one just keeps getting better and better. And better, and better, and better. Jesus' answer to Peter shows that it is no loss to have given up everything to follow Jesus. There may be difficulty and suffering and persecution and death involved in being a follower of Jesus and part of His kingdom. But the losses will be made good. Those who follow Him will receive 100 times as much as they lost, along with eternal life. On the other hand, those who thought they could gain the world as well as their souls will be disappointed. They get it all. I want to be a Christian because it looks good on your resume, and I want all this other stuff with me. Well, that's not following. And then he goes, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Well, it might appear that they are giving up everything now and are the last. They will be given everything eternally and will be the first. Conversely, those like the rich young ruler who appear to have everything now, the first, will discover one day that they have lost everything and they will be the last. I want to be the last here so I can be the first up there. I think it's interesting too that, you know the term YOLO? YOLO! You only live once, right? What does it mean? You only live once? YOLO. You know the problem with that in our culture today is that it's ruining our culture today. The very fact you think, well, I only live once, therefore I'm going to get, while the getting's good, I'm going to get all the gusto I can, I'm going to do some of the things, maybe I don't know. You only live once, so let's explore it, let's do it, let's get in there, let's make it happen, let's make it be a part of my life. YOLO, and usually when you say YOLO, it's about something kind of crazy out there on the edge, and I mean, you know, you only live once, go do it. You don't get another chance to do this thing. The only problem, and I think it's ruining our culture because it's causing people to do things that they should never do. What's that thing now where they smack everybody down? Knock down? I mean, come up to a person who's just walking down, some lady, some old lady who's walking down, and some guy hits her while she's walking, looking the other way, and just belts her as high as he can with his fist to knock some 80-year-old lady down. Like, wow, that's a real manly thing to do, but it's what our culture is telling us is cool today. YOLO, knock her down! YOLO, hit that guy! YOLO, let's all go in and rob a store! We'll just all go in and take everything we can! It's our culture today! YOLO, we only live once! The knockdown thing just really, really irritates me. I just can't believe our culture in that spot, and it's because we're lost. Our culture is lost. They would go up to innocent people who are not looking. The most cowardice thing a person could do to intrude on another person's life and well-being while they're unaware. And that's supposed to be you're a man or you're cool or you're awesome or you're wonderful. No, you're a chicken. I'm sorry. You only live once. You only live once. Let's go do that. Let's do that. Somebody dreams it up. Somebody says it. They just want to do it because, well, we only live once. The only problem with YOLO is it's false. It's not a true statement. You only live once is not true. You live twice. You live once in this life, and you will live again in another life. And that life will either be wonderful or horrible at your choice. But what we're telling the world today is, you only live once, so get it all because then life's over. No, no, you live twice. It should be YOLT. I want to start a whole new fad. It's like Jolt Cola. YOLT! YOLT, dude! I mean, when you see somebody doing something, they do, YOLT, dude! What are you doing? Well, you only live once? No, you don't. You live twice. That's stupid. You want to get ready for the next life? That's not going to get you there. Or not the one you want to be at.
That's right.
We have to realize that, YOLT, dude, we live twice. And what we do in this life qualifies us for the next one. Where are you going to be? Some say, well, I thought hell was eternal death. Well, it's all right, but it's you're alive. You're awake during the whole process. All right, so when you say, well, you really live there, it's kind of, I don't want to get caught on the semantics, okay? I just like the word YOLT. You're there. And there's going to be a sad portion of our population who thought YOLO, but got YOLT and realized they weren't ready. They weren't following Jesus. They were following the crowd. It was knocking down old ladies at a subway stop because that was cool. Or that was using drugs or drinking beyond what they should drink, and or they were lying and cheating and stealing or raping or murdering or adult. I mean, there's just YOLO. No, YOLT. You live twice. And what you do in this life prepares you for the next one. It prepares you for the next one. Let me get my observation here. Those who follow Jesus receive a reward. Those who follow Jesus receive a reward. I love that part. You know, have you ever seen those bounty hunters, you know? If you get track this guy, you know, in the old days too, you know, you track this guy down, wanted dead or alive, you know, and you got him and you brought him back. You were hunting down this person, hunt him down for a long, long time, and they'd get the person, bring him back, and they'd get the reward. It's the same thing. You find Jesus and you follow him, you get a reward. You get a reward. Wanted dead or alive. He was dead, but he's back alive again, so he's actually wanted dead, alive, and alive. I guess it'd be YOLT. Some are going to go, I went to church today and I was so confused. A reward for doing something good. I love this. Maybe some of you saw this about these football players who, well, I'll let you see the video here. They're from William Patterson University.
It's all over the news as one of those feel-good videos, and it feels good. Four football players walked into Buddy's Small Lot store in Wayne, New Jersey to find an audio cable and some batteries for some speakers. When they went to pay for it, no one in sight. It turns out the store was actually closed, but some sort of glitch in the door lock left it open for the world to walk in. A break-in was reported around 7 p.m., alarming Marcy Letterman, the owner of the store, who of course later found out there was never a break-in. When she watched the surveillance footage, she was pleased to see four guys walk in, get what they needed, and kindly leave the appropriate amount of cash on the counter, sales tax included. So it's a story of honesty that has become a shining beacon of righteousness. Marcy was so proud of them, she tracked them down and on Tuesday found them at William Patterson University. Thomas James, Kelly Gallimore, Jelani Bruce, and Anthony Biondi are the guys behind the honest deed, and they said it was pretty cool that it became a story so inspiring. Marcy thought it was something pretty special and gave each of the boys $50 certificates. She said, I think it's terrific that there are still people out there with moral character not to do the wrong thing when they easily could. I couldn't agree more, and hopefully this video filled a lot of half-empty glasses out there.
How awesome! I want you to know that they were football players. All right? Football players. I loved it. They go in there, the door's open, and nobody's here. Could have easily taken anything they wanted out of there. And there they are waving, hey, got the money here, here's the tax, got it all here, gave it to the thing, and took their batteries and left. How awesome. When no one's watching, they did the right thing. Only to find out that everybody was watching. And that's exactly how it will be for us. You're going to think, oh, nobody's watching, when everybody is watching. It will be made known. I just thought it was so cool. These guys had the moral integrity, had the guts, instead of just going, this is an opportunity. Look what happened. An opportunity. We can take what we want. Hey, we don't even have to come in with 55 of our guys and steal the store. We can just go in by ourselves because, hey, the thing is open. Nobody's here. We won't get caught. No, they got caught doing something good. Wow, isn't that awesome? As a Christian, we should get caught doing something good all the time. You should get caught watching something good, caught doing something good, caught saying something good, caught being something good, caught doing good by the world around you will cause them to scratch their head, look at you, and reward you. They all got rewarded. They just did the right thing. They did the right thing, and they got rewarded for it. $50. Each of them, $50 for doing the right thing. You don't think that God rewards you for doing the right thing just because you don't get it in your pocket at the moment you do it? Do you not understand that you are storing up treasure in heaven? You are storing up treasure in heaven by what you do, you or don't do and choose not to do. You are storing up something in heaven as you follow Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, that there is a reward that happens to you, not just here, but also up there. A reward for doing something good, doing something right. Revelation 22:12, it says, and behold, I am coming quickly. This is at the end. This is the book of Revelation. This is God talking about a reward. He says, and behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me. My reward is with me to give to everyone. What does it say here? According to his work. The work here is ergon. It means to toil. It means to put effort, to sweat, to do something. This reward here is not for the free gift of eternal life that God gives you when you ask Him into your life. Do you also understand our reward, yes, is heaven. We ask Jesus into our life, we're going to go to heaven. That's awesome. You live for Him, you're going to go to heaven. But every choice and decision that you make in this life today, God is also taking account of and will reward you for those beyond eternal life. Now, I thought eternal life was the whole deal. Oh, no, it's a great deal. Believe me, getting into heaven, I don't care how we get there, it's going to be awesome. But you have to realize, somebody says, well, the guy who slides in on a deathbed repentance at the age of 99 after he did everything rotten and goes, Jesus, come into my life, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. It doesn't seem fair. He gets eternal life. He does. He gets it. You all get it. It's a free gift. Hey, you can't earn it. You can do nothing. You can't sweat. You can't toil. You can do nothing. All you can do is accept the work already done for you. However, in Revelation, he's talking about something that did require work, energy, effort, toil, decision. Yes, no, I'll do it. Suffering, I'm going to go get it. There's a reward for that. There's a reward for following Jesus closer. The reward in the Greek English lexicon means a recompense based upon what a person has earned and thus deserves. The nature of the recompense being either positive or negative. You can earn bad stuff, and the world is going to earn all of the bad stuff that's going to happen. You're going to earn it. But for us as Christians, do you realize we also earn, and I hate to use, but we do. By how you live your life, rewards are set in heaven in accordance with that. The guy who slid by, he gets heaven. But he's not getting all the rewards that you're going to tally up. And you know what? I don't even understand how you even figure out the rewards. I don't even understand what the rewards are. I don't even understand what it all means. I just know this. The scripture is very clear about there are rewards in heaven. There are rewards for Christians. Not all the same. They're all different. Based on your choices, your decisions, what you said you would do, wouldn't do, your following of Jesus. For a believer, heaven is a free gift. But when we get to heaven, there are rewards given according to our works. Those who follow Jesus closer get more or get something. They get something. The men who have given their lives, who have suffered and sacrificed, who have lived a life so great before God, you don't think God's going to look at that and go, I'm honoring you. You get a reward. You just wanted to get in, fine, you're in. But are you living for me? Is your life changing? Are you a different person? Do you love me? Do you value me? There are rewards in heaven. In 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15, for no further foundation can anyone lay but that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, Jesus Christ gets his eternal life. Hallelujah. Awesome. It's wonderful. Heaven's going to be great. If that's all we get, that'll be pretty good. But the Bible says there's more. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, if you build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, you can build gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, straw. Each one's works will become clear, for the day will declare it, will be seen, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, ergon, effort, toil, all of that stuff, not the free gift, of what sort it is. Is it gold, silver, and a precious stone? Or is it wood, hay, and straw? Wood, hay, and straw don't do well in fire. Gold, silver, precious stone do good in fire. He goes on to say, if anyone works which he has built on it, say this word with me, endures. Is it up there? Endures, he will receive a... If it... Endures, he receives reward. Endures reward. Endures reward. If anyone's work is burned, fire's revealing it. There's a testing. Fire reveals it. Wood, hay, and stubble burnt up. You built all this stuff. I did all these things. I acquired all this stuff. Burnt up. Gone. He says he will suffer loss. Loss of what? Loss of reward. But he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. Do you hear what the scripture is saying here? It is saying, yeah, you make it through because you're building your life on Jesus Christ, this foundation, Jesus Christ, I've asked Him to my life. But what you build on it, the choices you make, the person you become, either is going to get burned up going through the fire or it's going to last through the fire. And it's rewarded accordingly. Rewarded accordingly. If it endures. If you've taken some stands and people taking some shots at you and you've been honorable before God and you're making choice and you're going, what's it worth? It's worth a lot. Because God looks at you and He will honor you for your choices. But nobody saw it. I did that. I was going to say that. I'm going to do that. And I didn't do that. And what's it all worth? It's worth a lot. Because you're building something out of gold, silver, and precious stone. That gets rewarded. Wood, hay, and stubble doesn't. I have to say, personally, I'm excited about going to heaven. But I'm disappointed in myself and some of the things I lost along the way. I believe God can redeem the time. He's good at doing stuff like that. I want to make better choices in my life as I keep going on. But I've made some bad choices in my life back there. I want to keep making better choices. I want a reward. I don't know what it is. Maybe get a ride around in a red wagon. I don't know. It'll be fun, though. Something. Does it make sense that God doesn't, well, you're all the same. Zink, put them all in there. And they just all go in there. Great, you're all the same. Oh, no, no, there's lamb chops. I remember lamb chops. Oh, lamb chops, I remember him laying down his life for the people. And he fed them all. Never mind. I told you. Stuff happens that shouldn't be happening. Peter. There are people who have made some amazing decisions for Jesus Christ to live for Him. And God's going to look at them and go, I saw all those. I saw them all. Come here. Come here. I got something for you. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to pretend to tell you I know, because I don't. I just know there's something. I'd like to get in on it. I'd like to get in on it. For a believer, heaven is assured, but what you are building on in your life today either qualifies or disqualifies you from further reward in heaven. I don't know exactly what that means. Seems like heaven will be awesome, but God will reward the one who makes sacrifices now. He'll reward you later. He'll reward the one who is diligent in his faith now with additional reward later, whatever that means. But I want to follow Him. And when Peter and the rest of the disciples followed Jesus Christ, God said, I know what it took for you guys to make those decisions. I saw them. You guys, I got 12 thrones. You're pretty amazing. As a Christian, what you do or don't do now matters. It matters. It matters. Let me bring this to a close. There are rewards for sacrifices made for Christ, given out in heaven. Don't miss out. The time when you feel like you're suffering and having to say no to yourself, or I'm not going to click on that, I'm not going to say that, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to... That God's going, I'll remember that. I'll remember that. I'll remember that. I know that was hard. I know that was tough. I was there. I'm going to remember that. Remember decisions. You know, for a lot of us, we've made a lot of mistakes in the past. I'm thankful for God for forgiveness. We can ask Him to forgive us and He cancels our debt. And then He says, here we are now. What choices are you making today? Because today's choices will be remembered in heaven forever. Father, help us. Help me. To realize that following you and you've changed me and you changed all of us, and we're happy about all that. And we're excited. And we're excited for heaven, eternal life. But Lord, help us to be just as excited about our day-to-day choices, the little things, the things that make a difference later, because you're watching them now. Lord, we want to be like those four football players who gave a wave offering before you, did their stuff, made decisions that would honor their God now. Done in secret, that you tell the whole world. Help us to be those, Lord. We love you. We bless you. We need you, Jesus. Help us in the time when we're sweating through a decision to make the one that honors you. Help us in the time when we're sacrificing something to know we're honoring you. Help us when we walk away from a relationship that's wrong, that we know you get the glory. Help us when we look the other way on that person's paper or on that TV program or on that internet. Lord, help us to store it up for you, O God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, that our reason be not just reward, but because we love you so much, we want to honor you with everything we do. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.